at 8:14 on the ticket. I can't wait to talk about this because I watch 60 Minutes, try to watch it every week.
Me too.
I thought the story on facial recognition was really interesting.
Yeah, that's another one.
But I thought this story was even more interesting.
I did too. I thought it was the best report I'd ever seen on UFOs, or as I guess we're calling them now, UAPs, Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon.
Wonder why they switched the name.
I guess it has to do with this program that was started. And Bill Whitaker did the story. First, you see a guy named Luis Elizondo. He's former military. He was a military intelligence operations leader. Spent time in Afghanistan, Middle East. And in 2008, he was a part of this program that was spearheaded by, at the time, the Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid. And it was a program in the Pentagon in 2008 called Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, or ATIP. $22 million project. They took in military people, scientists, engineers, and they reviewed reports because they had received several incidents in the last 8 years or so, early aughts. So Luis Elizondo said, I've never been a UFO conspiracy guy, never thought one or two things about them. I've been a military guy, but they put me in charge, or at least a part of this program. And this is what he said they started seeing when they started reviewing these videos. And by the way, this guy looks just like Grego. Go ahead.
Imagine a technology that can do 600 to 700 G-forces, that can fly at 13,000 miles an hour, that it can evade radar, and that can fly through air and water and possibly space. And, oh, by the way, has no obvious signs of propulsion, no wings, no control surfaces, and yet still can defy the natural effects of Earth's gravity. That's precisely what we're seeing.
Some of these were taken by military jets that honed in on them with their cameras. Some were taken by pilots of commercial airlines, but they had a number of incidents. Another one that they talked to, Lieutenant Ryan Graves, he flew F-18s off of Virginia, and he said in 2014 that with his radar and infrared camera, that almost every day over a two-year period, they saw something weird. And a lot of them were the same thing. A light that looked like almost like a tic-tac that could move in all different directions.
Yeah, that's what they would call them, or tic-tacs, right?
Yeah. Any sort of plane capability beyond a plane's capability, they'd never seen anything like it.
Because they can take off from like a dead stop
and
just immediately be going 13,000 miles per hour or something. They could seem to, and I haven't seen the 60 Minutes thing, but did they talk about how the thing would also just plunge underwater and maneuver the exact same way underwater?
They talked,
That's just
As he just mentioned, sometimes maybe it's in water, maybe it's above the water. That Ryan Graves said that it's one of three things, either a secret U.S. technology we don't know about, a foreign spy vessel that we're not familiar with, or something otherworldly.
Those are the only three options.
Yes. Now,
these guys, by the way, and women that you're going to hear from, they are all so believable because none of them have skin in the game, right? They're not benefiting from talking about this. They're all military people, you know. Very respected. None of them were seen as wackos or anything. A lot of them were non-believers in UFOs and this kind of technology going in. And that was one of the big things that jumped out at me about this story, is that they were all so believable. And in some cases, as you'll hear, they didn't even really want to talk about it, but they feel like we've gotten to a point where we have to talk about it. And now that the government is kind of starting for the first time ever to acknowledge it, they feel like this is the time that they're not going to freak everybody out, that this needs to be told.
And it seems like the real game-changer moment was 2004. That's where they say everything changed. And Whitaker reports here, he's going to talk to David Favor and Alex Diedrich. They were on the USS Nimitz. They were F-18 pilots. And what they saw in November, this is pretty wild.
It was November 2004, and the USS Nimitz Carrier Strike Group was training about 100 miles southwest of San Diego. For a week, the advanced new radar on a nearby ship, the USS Princeton, had detected what operators called multiple anomalous aerial vehicles over the horizon, descending 80,000 feet in less than a second. On November 14th, Fravor and Dietrich, each with a weapons system officer in the back seat, were diverted to investigate. They found an area of roiling white water the size of a 737 in an otherwise calm blue sea.
So, as we're looking at this, her backseater says, "Hey, Skipper, do you?" And about that got out, I said, "Dude, do you see that thing down there?" And we saw this little white, tic-tac-looking object, and it's just kind of moving above the white water area.
As Dietrich circled above, Fravor went in for a closer look.
So you're sort of spiraling down?
Yep. The tic-tac still pointing north-south. It goes, and just turns abruptly and starts mirroring me. So as I'm coming down, it starts coming up.
So it's mimicking your moves.
Yeah, it was aware we were there.
He said it was about the size of his F-18, with no markings, no wings, no exhaust plumes.
I want to see how close I can get. So I go like this, and it's climbing still. And when it gets right in front of me, it just disappears.
So, as they said, there's four of them. The pilots and then their observer in the back. So there's four of them. That's why they felt like they could go forward. Alex Dietrich later said, if they would have just been out on a solo flight, they probably wouldn't have said anything because no one would have believed them.
Right.
But here they had four witnesses that all saw the same thing.
And she said at the very beginning of the interview, I just want you to know, I've never wanted to go on national television.
Yeah, really wanted to talk about
that. But she feels like she has to now.
Yeah.
Because of what they saw. Yes, four witnesses. Think about what they saw. Think about that description.
Can't explain it.
Calm sea and this patch of roiling white water, and then this tic-tac comes up, defying all of our laws of physics, and you have four respected members of the military, high ranking in a couple of cases, and they all verify what each other saw.
Now, remember Luis Elizondo, the guy who looks like Grego, who's the military intelligence guy? So he's investigating this, and remember, he joined the Pentagon in 2008, so he sees their report, and they reported it in 2004, but basically went, it left alone, just kind of disappeared.
And by the way, when it disappeared, you heard that pilot say, and then it just disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then it was picked up on radar or whatever system they used, like 60 miles away, 30 seconds later.
Yeah. All of a sudden, that ship that had been monitoring all this movement found it like, 60 miles away.
And I may have the time frame just a little off, but it was some kind of thing we know about can explain.
So now Alessandro sees this and he files another report with, that ATIP program that he was a part of, but basically it was met with skepticism, and in 2012 they defunded that program, that $22 million project that he is a part of, and he's going through all these, and all of a sudden he's a believer in something. He's not sure what, but he believes something is going on. He was still trying to get the word out and with the Pentagon, and no one really listened to him. So, we've had these reports come out, New York Times, Washington Post, a TV report here or there. The reason those came out is because Alessandro went forward and leaked some of these. He got those videos declassified. That's how the public has been able to see them. And this Christopher Mellon, who they also interviewed, he's the former assistant security, deputy security, and Department of Intelligence. He leaked some of this information to the New York Times. So when we had these stories on Muse in the News, it was because of Alessandro and because of Mellon. And they got those reports out there. And so now, next month, we're to have a report from the Intelligence Committee to the U.S. Senate, because Marco Rubio, when he was the head of the Intelligence Department under the Trump administration, he called for this report to the U.S. Senate. We've got all of this evidence. He talked to guys like Mellon and Alessandro, and this is Rubio, who was interviewed for the 60 Minutes piece.
I mean, we're going to find out when we get that report. You know, there's a stigma on Capitol Hill. I mean, some of my colleagues are very interested in this topic and some kind of, you know, giggle when you bring it up. But I don't think we can allow the stigma to keep us from having an answer to a very fundamental question.
What do you want us to do about this?
I want us to take it seriously and have a process to take it seriously. I want us to have a process to analyze the data every time it comes in, that there be a place where this is cataloged and constantly analyzed until we get some answers. Maybe it has a very simple answer. Maybe it doesn't.
I expect this report, as I was telling Junior earlier today, to be like a long review in the NFL, and they just say,
inconclusive. Right.
But there's a lot of things we can't explain. I think that's what the report is going to say, but could you imagine if they said, we have good reason to believe now that this is otherworldly. This is from another dimension or another world. I don't think they'll say that, but wouldn't that freak everybody out if they did?
A couple of people interviewed for this piece on 60 Minutes said, this is important because it's an issue of national security.
Yeah.
Because
whatever it is,
of the three options, two are it's foreign technology that's hovering around our airspace. And it's technology, as that one guy said, that's way better than our airplanes.
So superior that we would have no chance if it was weaponized.
So it's a security issue if it's a foreign country that has this technology, or if it's from another planet, from somewhere in space. It's alien activity. How do we know what their intentions are? So it's also a security issue there.
And that Christopher Mellon that I mentioned, who leaked the information to the New York Times, he said, he really whittled it down to two, because he said he's been very high in top security clearance, and he said this is not ours. Mm-hmm. He's been at the very top under several different administrations, so he ruled out secret U.S. technology. So that puts it down to foreign spy vessel or otherworldly.
And
so
my
now
guess,
we're talking a 50-50 proposition.
And my guess is otherworldly, because if we don't have that technology, and I'm not saying we're definitely ahead of everybody in the world.
Why would somebody
but
else?
But this is so advanced.
Yeah.
Dropping 80,000 feet in 1 second, I don't think China or Russia has that technology.
No?
I just don't. And
They would have used it to solve other problems those countries have.
Right.
Were this advanced to create such technological solutions.
I've always believed in UFOs, and I've always believed in their possibility, because I think it's incredibly egocentric of us in this country or on this planet to think we're the only ones that are alive in this universe that are intelligent. And I've always wondered if they are around us either in a different form, a different dimension. What kind of forms are they taking on to where they're amongst us, observing or dictating or whatever it happens to be? I've never dismissed that possibility. And I've also never agreed with the, well, that's not possible because that defies our laws of physics. Well, who says our laws of physics are applicable in other parts of the universe? I think that's incredibly egocentric to think that. And I read an article about 2 months ago that there's now belief that, yes, our laws of physics apply here, but they may not apply elsewhere in the universe, and whatever technology they have elsewhere, they can bring here and defy our laws of physics. So I just think over the course of the history of man, we've always come to these signposts, these markings in the timeline where we've been 100% sure we're right that the world is flat.
Right.
We've been 100% sure, right, that, you know, whatever it is. And then you get a little further down the road and you look back and you think, wow, what were we thinking
back then?
We were pretty stupid to not accept the possibility that this existed. And now we know it does exist. And I feel like we're on the precipice, if that's even a word.
I don't think it is.
Mm-mm.
Of kind of starting to acknowledge that, yeah, maybe the laws of physics that we think don't apply everywhere. Maybe these aliens could be among us and we have no idea. Maybe they can be invisible. Maybe they're so microscopic that we can't detect them. I just think that I think the possibility is greater than it's not that that's the case.
I think that did they discuss multiverses and things like that and perhaps interdimensionality?
No, they didn't go there.
Those possibilities.
They just said, you know, something,
because I think that's more likely than from a planet from way out somewhere.
Yeah.
I think the intergalactic travel is just, it's too time consuming, and I think that it's
are you
somehow,
talking about a time portal or something?
Yeah, it's got to be wormholey, or yeah, or the fact that it's right here from this space, but maybe not from this time.
Right. Us in the future coming back with this technology.
It's something that's probably all around us that we just aren't aware of. It's like trying to conceive of a four-dimensional object or a five-dimensional object to our mind is very, very difficult.
Aren't you glad, though, that these people stepped forward and said something? Because they easily could have been frustrated and thought, well, it's just government policy. But once they became private citizens, that's when Mellon and Alessandro, you know, stepped forward and put these videos out there, mm-hmm, or leaked it to an agency so they would report on it. If they hadn't done that, you wouldn't have all this speculation.
I think it's curious, though, that it seems like the government is more willing to allow this stuff out there, and I wonder if there's not a reason for that.
That it may be because we have that technology.
No, I think that there. I don't know what all it is. I just think that it's strange that the government is not responding the same way to this that they have, that has been their policy for forever. And that, this is explainable in this way, or, we disavow this, or that's not actual footage. The fact that they're confirming that feels like we're being set up for something. Some reveal, some thing that they thought, there's a reason why they think it's better to acknowledge and discuss this stuff than not.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And it's not just that, we just have such a commitment to truth.
Is it because, was it Bob Lazar, was that his name, the area? Mm-hmm. Is it because he might be right, and that we have this technology that we harvested from an alien space crash 50 years ago, and we have now understood it, we've developed all of this stuff, and they're setting us up? You know, maybe George, the guy you mentioned who said he was in the high levels of the government, and it's not ours.
Yeah.
Well, maybe it is ours, and maybe that's part of the government trying to set us up for the eventual unveiling of that.
But here's the thing, we can't man those things.
Right.
Because nothing can survive. Nothing biological can survive inside
run
them.
From
some, so
yeah,
if there's some sort of drone,
mm-hmm,
that we pilot.
But maybe when you the answer to your information question is maybe it is just over time, with individuals just really pressing for this, that they finally relent and say, okay, fine, we'll declassify. There's so many of them.
But I don't think
we
that.
We can't keep a lid on it.
Yeah, but that's been the case all throughout the whole UFO deal. There's been so many people who've come forward and so many people that talked about it, and the government always stiff-armed it. I mean, so I don't think that this is anything more.
But have we ever had a senator, like, and again, regardless of what you think politically, I can't remember a senator stepping forward and saying, let's do
I think
let's have
we
a report
have, yeah,
on this to the Senate, have we?
Yeah, okay. I think so.
I wonder where.
I mean, I'm not
them.
Sure, but yeah. I think we have. I just think that there's a reason why this is starting to come out now. And it may be, which is scary to me, because they're willing to acknowledge that these may be UFOs is for some reason more palatable for the government than realizing what it probably really is. Like there's a reason why they're like, okay, the UFO story is a lot less scary to people than what it really is.
Mm-hmm. I think it's also very difficult for serious people to broach this topic publicly because so many people still laugh at them, because to those people, UFOs are nothing but science fiction, funny cartoons, whatever. Yeah. And no one will take it, well, not no one, but those people won't ever take it seriously.
Which I don't quite fully get. I mean, I get some of the humor to it. Heck, we'll probably have some humor here in just a few moments about it. but I don't understand the complete laughing off of science fiction.
I don't either.
Science fiction basically has predicted everything that is our world now.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to carry around some sort of magic screen in front of us that connects us to everyone in the whole world anytime we want. I don't think so. Never going to happen.
Check it out.
It's called smartphone.
This 60 Minutes report's really good. It will definitely make you think.
All right, and coming up next, we are going to visit with someone who has had contact with beings from another world.